You're listening to the Option Alpha podcast from OptionAlpha.com, where we show you how to make smarter trades, learn how the stock market really works, and generate consistent monthly income. Now, your host and head trader at OptionAlpha.com, Kirk Duplessis.
Hey everyone, this is Kirk here again from OptionAlpha.com, working every single week to make this the most popular investing podcast offered online and in iTunes because it's based on one thing and one thing only, and that's helping you guys make smarter trades. So again, thank you so much for tuning into today's show. On today's show, we are going to talk about why, frankly, some options traders are just always more profitable. And I think it gets back down to this mentality mindset. It gets that back down to a lot of basic stuff. So we're kind of trying to go through a lot more of these basics here in the first couple shows this month, and really kind of bring things together and reset everyone's trajectory after the recent down move that stocks had. Because I think a lot of people got shooken up, and I don't think it's going to stop. I think it's going to continue to have more volatility, as we've already seen even this week. And so I want people to make sure that we're moving in the right direction. We've got a goal or a goalpost that we're working towards that we can help each other improve on. So when I look at a lot of people that we've coached over the last couple of years, and I don't even know how many people I've coached now at this point. I've probably coached hundreds, multiple, I don't know, maybe close to 1,000, but I don't think we're quite there yet as far as people we've coached and people we have in our community. We've got thousands of people in the community now in Pro and Elite. And so I can see a lot of, similarities, and a lot of threads start to come across, not only with people I talk to, but just seeing comments, just reading in the forum. Like oftentimes I'll just go through and just kind of read the forum and see what people are talking about, good things, bad things, like everything, their trades. And I really kind of take all that stuff to heart. I try to understand what people are doing really good stuff, what people are offering great opinions, great advice, and how people are doing things differently. And so I wanted to present, hopefully, some things that you could work on, because I think that there are some common threads for people who just are more profitable. And I think it's little stuff that we can change. It's not major, major stuff, but it's a lot of mindset. It's a lot of psychological stuff. And towards the end of this podcast, we'll talk more about our auto trading software, which we're going to be releasing very soon, and how that can play into this and help you as well. So it can help remove the emotions and become more emotionless and more systematic in how you trade, which I think will be really interesting. So the first thing that I see with really good traders is I feel like they can't win, or I feel like people who are really good traders never stop playing the game. And what I mean by that is that they recognize the longevity that's required to be in this business, and they really just never stop. Like, they have such a long-term perspective that they're not fazed by any short-term movements that markets have. Not to say that they ignore short-term movements and they don't react to the market moving down or moving higher, but their main focus is long-term. It's almost like if you watch professional sports and football in the States, like quarterbacks, really good quarterbacks, they say have their eyes downfield is a common, phrase. And so where there's a lot of activity going on around them at the moment, people are trying to hit them and, their offensive line's trying to block, and we got people, throwing elbows and arms, but their eyes are downfield. Like, they're still focused. They recognize what's going on. They have pocket awareness or a sense of the pocket, but they understand that what they need to do is they need to throw the ball down the field. They need to get it into their receiver's hands. And that same thought process can be used in options trading as far as looking towards the end game, just realizing that you become basically more and more successful the longer that you stay involved. So every single day, every single trade that you make gets you one step closer to just really solidifying, like granite, like concrete, really solidifying that probability of success, that win rate, that expected return, that positive expected return. It's not going to happen after 4 or 5 trades, or even necessarily 100 trades. It may take more than that to really solidify that in, but you've got to have your focus on staying in the game, staying active, and basically making more trades. Number two is they never let setbacks set them back. I know that's a little bit of a tongue twister, but they really do. Like, I see people all the time, and hopefully I try to do this a lot, although I'm human just like everyone else. So when I have a setback, it eats at me too, just like everyone else. But I think that really good traders and just investors never let setbacks actually set them back. They recognize that's part of the system. It's part of the process. It's like kids learning to walk. Like, they're going to fall down, but they get right back up. And so it's that constant forward motion, that idea that when you fall, at least you fall forward, and that you're making progress even though you fell down and maybe you learned something in the process, right? So don't let setbacks actually set you back. Move forward beyond them, learn from them, recognize what happened, try to make a change if you need to make a change, or just keep moving forward. Number three is they seek constant improvement. So this is cool because what I saw with a lot of people who I think are kind of like our all-stars in the forum for sure. Some of these guys, when they make a recommendation or a suggestion or give some advice, they'll always kind of end it with something like, and it's never always the same, but it's something like, what do you think? Or how can I improve? Or do you see something different? And it's such a humbling like experience to watch and see people do that because they're wicked smart. Like I'm reading some of the stuff that people are putting up there. I'm like, that's a really smart way to think about that. And yet they still end it with, well, what do you think? Like they're not the end all be all. And I hopefully that's the type of community that we're building. I want to be more like that for sure. Like hopefully I'm like that. I want to be more like that. I want to be able to learn from people just like they can learn from me. But it's this constant seeking of improvement, this philosophy that your education really never ends. That's probably one of the things I love so much about the markets and trading is that it's always changing. Like there's always a new page to turn it, and it's never going to be the same. Like what it was 10 years ago is not what it's going to be 10 years from now. There's going to be the same themes or, you know, elements that run, you know, between the levels, but how we do things or the markets that we play in, the tickers that we trade, how often we trade, because now like 24-hour trading is becoming more of a thing and I think will be more of a thing in the future. All of that is going to change. And that to me is really, really interesting. It like keeps me energized. It keeps me basically like up at night, so excited about trading and stuff like that. But it's that constant improvement, I think, that really makes a big difference. Number four is they accept what they can't change. This one I think I've gotten way better at over the last couple of years. I will definitely pat myself on the back on this one and say I accept what I cannot change. I have tried for years, and even after we did like the signals research and things like that, I used to try for years to like force the market to do what I wanted to do. And it was a subconscious thing where I would look at a position and say, man, I hope that that position turns around, or God, I really need a bounce. Like I really need this thing to bounce back into my range or my zone. And I have gotten way better. And it's probably because I've had to do this for other people. I've had to tell them this, and then it's reinforced in my own head and mind that you cannot change the things you like. There's some things you can't change that are just going to happen. Like black swan events for me are things that are going to happen. I know they're going to happen. I just don't know when. People try to predict them all the time. They're unpredictable, hence their name. Like they're black swan events. By their nature, they are unpredictable, like asymmetric, like systematic events in the market. And so what people do is they try to predict them and they try to assume that the market's going to crash or rally big. And they end up just getting blown up or just like worn out in the process of doing it. So accept the things you can change. You can't predict black swans. You have no idea where the markets are going to go. Even just in like the last downturn that we've had, the markets, you know, rebounded so strong from that initially, and nobody thought that that was going to happen, right? Even trades that we had from November of last year, where we were, you know, like neutral in the market. Then the market rallied into January and then fell in February. Like nobody expected those trades to become profitable. We didn't either, but we held on to them because we just had to accept that we needed to trade high probability setups. And so we didn't know if the market was going to rally or fall as much as it did, but we just had to stay consistent, had to, you know, keep with the program. Number five here is that they build good habits versus bad habits. Now remember, habits are tricky little things. Habits can be either bad or good. Your mind has no way of determining a good or bad habit, which is crazy to think about. But if you study psychology and like cognitive processes, your mind actually wants to reduce strain. Like it's programmed and hardwired to reduce its own strain. So it builds habits, it builds routines. But your mind has no idea of understanding what habits are good habits and what habits are bad habits. So you literally have to force your mind, force your body into doing the right habits long enough until they become routine, till your mind and your brain and your subconscious takes over and says, okay, this is the new thing that I should be doing because I'm sick and tired of basically like trying to fight you on this. It's like you're battling with your own mind here, but you're trying to force it into a new habit. That's why people say it takes, you know, habits 21 days to build a habit. I don't think it's true. I think it probably takes more like 60 days, 90 days in some cases to build a habit. It takes a lot of effort to rewire and reprocess how you're doing things. Like if you even tracked what you're doing right now, you probably put on your left shoe more than your right shoe, right? In fact, you probably put on the left shoe every single time versus the right. We have no idea. Like, you don't even know that this happens, but if you track which shoe you put on first, I bet you it's one shoe versus the other all the time, right? So to change that habit, which has probably been ingrained in your mind for years now, maybe decades, would take a lot of effort. It would take a lot of cognitive effort to do it, but it might be worth it. So I think what you have to do right now is you have to build good habits. If you're trading manually, you are the point and clicker. You have got to build good habits so that you do the right things when you need to do the right things. Now, number six here is twofold. One, it's, and really the main one here that I wrote down was recognize the importance of systems. So to kind of go off the same like routine as like habits or the same, you know, bullet point as habits, good traders recognize the importance of a system. So if you go back a couple episodes, I think it was like show 107 with MACD Daddy, where he talked about his wheel strategy and he had a great layout and a great like PDF slides for you guys and everything about like the system of his wheel strategy. And he recognized, and why he's been so successful in doing that, even though it includes stocks and options, and it's different than how I would trade generally, but I love the idea, is that when he does that, he recognizes that it's a complete system, that there is a reaction to every action that happens, that there's no closed loops per se. You basically just work the wheel. That's why it's called the wheel, because it's basically a circular rotation that you're doing. And so they recognize, and good traders recognize, how important it is to have systems in place. Now, for me, what I've learned over the last couple of years about systems is that systems create lots of efficiencies at the risk of being perfect, right? So where systems fail for sure is that they don't allow you to be absolutely emphatically perfect. So this is common in basically business and entrepreneurship, which is where I basically learned how to do better with systems and why hopefully we've seen Option Alpha grow really, really fast here over the last couple of years, is because I had to let go of things that I know I could do really, really well if I, you know, spent the time on them. So like I let go of doing the graphics. Like now we have somebody who does the graphics. I let go of doing the transcript. Now we have somebody who does the transcript. Now it's not totally perfect, but it's 99% of the way there. It's really what I want to see, but maybe I would have done something a little bit different. But having a system in place has allowed me to do exponentially more content. It focuses on what I do best, which is basically explaining, laying out the topics, you know, like putting together the podcast, putting together the tutorials and courses. That's what I'm really good at. I'm not so good at, you know, like taking down the transcript, right? Like I can do that, but I don't need to do that. So you have to recognize how to set up a system in place for your trading. That means a system for entries, a system for exits, a system for portfolio allocation and balance and all of those things. That takes a lot of effort, but it's so, so important that you have those in place, because when you need them, they have to be right there. They have to be right there, ready to move with the market at the same time. So this now takes us into another conversation, and we'll just continue to talk about this more and more about all of our auto trading software that's going to be coming out very soon. So there's been a lot of talk about it, and we've kind of talked briefly about it here and there, and we'll continue to do it until we kind of officially launch. And that really could be at any point now, because we're so much closer to doing it. It's just lots and lots of testing, making sure that it's not going to break on anybody, or if it does, the breaks are not like, you know, major disruptions where they're making trades that you didn't say you should make. We got all those bugs figured out, right? But the auto trading software is meant to be, and has our basis and our goal has always been, to remove our own emotion from the market and make ourselves more systematic and much faster. And so what we've done with this auto trading software, which literally nobody has, like no hedge fund has this, no broker has this. This is such cool technology that I think it's going to revolutionize the options trading space for individual investors, because it allows you to do all of the things that we just talked about and build your own complete trading system totally within Option Alpha. So you'll be able to build out any strategy you want, any strikes you want, have exit parameters, have entry parameters, adjustments, allocation, the whole thing, all within one complete auto trading bot. And then you'll be able to, which is like super cool, what we're building out is the ability to then share that bot with the rest of the community, or share that bot publicly with the rest of the community, so that other people can come in and see how that bot is performed. Now, of course, it won't have your account numbers or anything, but it'll have performance metrics like win rates and drawdowns, all the stuff that we generally see in the back testing. And people will be able to come in and then clone your bot or, you know, replicate your bot and use it in a different ticker, use it with a different watch list. But that's what we're trying to do here is build the framework that allows you to create these own systems for yourself. So you don't have to remember all the time to go back in and close a trade at 50% or to set up that automatic closing order. You don't have to remember all the time to say, hey, if a trade is reaching a 75 IV level, we want to, you know, come in closer with our strike prices and be a little bit more aggressive, have a bigger position size. You won't have to do that anymore because we'll have the framework in place to start building out all of these trading strategies that work like an army of robots for you. And so that eliminates the need to build necessarily good habits. You still have to build good trading systems and bots. Like all of that is still in place. If you, you know, build something that doesn't work or buys options, it probably won't work, right? So like the fundamentals never change. It's just the mechanism or the mechanics that we use or the tools that we use to then get the job done. So that's what we've got coming for you guys. Again, super, super excited about it. We'll continue to talk more about it in the future as we have more updates. As always, anybody who's currently inside the membership gets grandfathered into it. So anybody who's an elite or a lifetime member or elite lifetime members right now get grandfathered into that. So they don't have to pay anything else in the future. That has always been our promise to that level. And then we're going to continue to make that true. And so we won't obviously charge anybody for that. And then we'll just have maybe a little bit new of a structure as we come out with it. We haven't totally solidified what we're going to do as far as pricing goes, but I think everyone will be really, really happy with what we roll out. And like I said, it's going to be revolutionary. It will be a game changer. We've already had lots of talks with different brokers about getting the APIs and getting everything connected in. And everyone's very, very excited about it. So we're super happy about it and super excited to be rolling it out here in the next couple of weeks. All right, so let's get into the Trader Q&A segment.
And now our favorite part of the show, Trader Q&A, where we ask a question from one of our current members about options trading. Got a question you'd like to ask Kirk to answer live on the air? Just head on over to optionalpha.com/ask and hit the record button to leave a message. That's optionalpha.com/ask. And now, here's today's question.
Hi, Kirk. This is Tom in Dallas. Been trading options for 2 or 3 years. I was wondering if you would trade the move on NVIDIA today when it fell $14 a share. And I'm thinking it will recover based on past experience. Thank you.
All right. Hey, Tom, thank you so much for the question. And again, with NVIDIA and with any really stock, so I'm just going to say basically any stock, but I know your question was specifically on NVIDIA, which is ticker symbol NVDA for those of you who want to kind of follow along at home. With any particular stock, I would always trade that stock after a fall, right? The only time that I wouldn't trade a stock, let's say the only time I wouldn't trade a stock after a fall is if they announced they're going bankrupt, right? Or if they had some huge like scandal, like anything really, really major. But if the company just had bad earnings, there was a bad press release, or maybe they lost a contract that they were supposed to win, and that caused the stock to have a huge fall, 15, 20% in some cases, but implied volatility to go through the roof, then yeah, I would still maybe make a trade on that. But of course, everything is small. So like getting back to what we talked about earlier, is that even though you might have a really, really strong conviction that this fall was too much or this fall was, you know, like unjustified and it could bounce back, I would still trade everything really, really small. Now, what happens with most stocks is that when they do fall, they either tend to rebound very quickly, which you can probably see from historical, you know, like looking back at the charts, like what happens to NVIDIA when it falls? Does it get gobbled up? Is it like a Tesla or like an Amazon where if it falls, then people look at it as a true buying opportunity? Or when it falls, does it start to just kind of float sideways for a while or float down? Like I know Chipotle is a semi-classic example of this, where when Chipotle falls, it tends to just continue to float lower. Like it doesn't really find a bottom. It finds like more of like a bottoming process over the course of a month or two. So I would look at that before I would start making my decision on making a trade. And then from there, I would decide whether I want to go bullish, bearish, neutral, et cetera, maybe even glance at the technicals and use that as well. But ultimately, yes, I would make a trade in something after a big move. I would just do it very, very small. So hopefully that helps out. As always, if you guys have any questions that you want me to get answered here on the podcast or live on Facebook and Periscope in the future, please head on over to optionalpha.com/ask. It is first come, first serve. So please get your questions in. You can submit as many as you want. We'll get them all sliced and diced for different shows and podcasts and Facebooks and everything, so you guys have all of your questions answered. Again, click on the big red button in the middle of the screen at optionalpha.com/ask and leave me a private voicemail. Now, again, before we get into the closing bell segment, if you want to learn more about our new auto trading software that we're going to be releasing very, very soon, all you have to do is just stay engaged on these podcasts, stay engaged on our email list. We'll be sending out more and more updates as we get much closer to the launch. Believe me, it will not come as a surprise. Once we get there, we're not going to like hit you over the head with a ton of emails, but we will be kind of like giving you guys some sneak peeks into the platform and into the software as we start getting closer to launch. And of course, anybody who is currently an elite member or upgrades to elite lifetime member will get first access when we roll it out to like the beta group. So the plan is to start rolling out the auto trading software first to the elite members, let them get, you know, kind of their hands dirty in that, you know, like a week or two before we launch it publicly to everyone else and give them access to it if they upgrade. So again, if you do want to get your hands on this early and kind of be one of the first people in the door, one of the first like founders basically for our auto trading software, just go ahead and upgrade at optionalpha.com.
Now, the closing bell. Find out which stocks we're looking at right now, trades we're making, and hear our game plan moving forward.
All right, so in today's closing bell segment, I want to talk about a new trade that we got into in TLT. So TLT is a favorite trading vehicle for us. It's a bond ETF that basically tracks 20-year maturity bonds in the market. And the reason I like trading it, not only was it really, really profitable for us last year to trade TLT basically sideways and neutral for the entire year, but I also like to always have a little bit of bond diversity in our portfolio. So trading stocks and our trading stock market indexes and some of the other major stock ETFs are great, but you also want to have some sort of bond exposure, also maybe currency or emerging market exposure, something to help level the playing field and smooth things out as far as returns go. And TLT for us has really kind of fit, you know, that bill for a long time. And so we want to continue trading TLT. And right now, implied volatility is actually pretty decent. TLT, it's had a little bit of a run down from 128 down to 118. So definitely a good move down. But TLT, if you look at a chart, is a huge, basically like ebb and flow type ETF, meaning that it has these huge runs higher, but then it, you know, collapses, or it has a huge run lower and then it rallies pretty strong. And I do think that even still right now, the Fed is going to intervene at some point or will continue to intervene and make sure that there's a certain level of low level stability in the bond market. And so that for that reason, we still want to trade TLT sideways. So right now, what we did is we got into another iron butterfly trade for April expiration, which at the time that we're doing this is about 58 days out. And so it gives us kind of early exposure into TLT for the next 2 months by selling the 118 calls and the 118 puts. So that's about right where TLT is trading right now, about 118, actually a little bit bearish based on where it's trading right now. And then we went out on either end and bought out of the money cheap options at 126 on the call side and 111 on the put side, just to give ourselves some defined risk. Now, even still taking into account those options that we bought, we still took in a net credit on each of our iron butterflies of $354. So we spent a little bit of money to buy these options on the further ends or further wings out, but that helps reduce margin, kind of control our risk and position size. And we still took in a pretty big credit. So we're looking at about a 66, 67% chance of success here. Hopefully we can close this thing out early at a 25% profit target. We should start to see if the markets do continue to recover or slow down here. We should start to see implied volatility drop pretty significantly here in TLT and kind of come back to a normal-ish range. I don't know if we'll go all the way as low as we've been in the latter half of 2017, but we should come back to a normal-ish range. And that'll help out as far as premium goes as well.
Thanks for listening to the Option Alpha podcast. If you liked what you heard, please drop by iTunes and leave a rating or comment. Plus, you can get everything, free email updates for future shows, transcripts, video tutorials, case studies, and more. Just visit our website at optionalpha.com.
All right, so I truly hope you guys enjoyed today's show again and got at least one thing out of it that you can apply right now to make you a smarter, more profitable trader and investor. As always, you can get additional resources, links mentioned in the show, and some related video training from our website at optionalpha.com or go to the show notes page at optionalpha.com/show120. That's just the number 120, optionalpha.com/120. Until next time, happy trading.